Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/blackgirlslaughing. Over 180,000 titles to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
What up?
Hey guys, what is up?
We are back for another episode
of
Black
Girls
Laughing.
Jesus Christ. I need to drink my coffee.
I'm out
before
of control.
You do that.
I'm out of control. I'm sorry, guys. I've got lots of emotions right now, like mixtures of like anger, disappointment, happiness, excitement. Yeah.
I'm feeling like French fries and coffee and having another good night of friendship. I just had a random thought. This week, I had a very good week of friendship.
That's good.
Like, after work, I did stuff with, like, almost all of my, like, little groups and, like, pockets of friends in Philly this
week.
That's
nice.
It was nice.
I played hooky on Friday and did not bring my butt to work at all. And I went to lunch with Kelsey and Rashonda. And got drunk. I sent a snap to everyone of me just being drunk on SEPTA alone.
It was magical. I was on the receiving end of that snap as well. It was great. Thanks to City Fit Girls, which is a group that does run clubs on Wednesdays and Saturdays in Philly. We've talked about it before. Thanks to their Facebook group, found two girls that I don't even know to run with on Thursday morning, and now we're going to do Thursday morning runs. And we did, like, over 3 miles.
Wow.
It was nice.
I ran 3 miles.
I saw that.
I did a little 5K on Saturday. It was beautiful.
It was
the
so
weather
nice.
Has just been bomb. Like, yeah. Thank you, July, for not coming out and being all hot as hell. Like, just keeping it chill like June was. Thank you, Jesus, Mother Nature, whoever did it, I salute you.
Let's just keep this humidity at bay, and I'll be okay with all of it.
I mean, I will be okay if you come at me in August, because it's just expected in August for it to be a shit show of sweaty nonsense, but this has been perfect.
Yes. All right. Should we get into it?
I guess so. Let's talk about one thing, though.
Yes.
Unless we're doing this for John. Us meeting up with interracial John.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get into the John, let's talk about our friends that are Johns.
So I'm sure many of our listeners know, and if not, Leslie Mack is this amazing woman who has done so much work with Black Lives Matter, the movement on social media, in real life, speaking, just she's the bomb. And she hosts this awesome podcast, Interracial John, with her husband, where they talk about being an interracial couple. And she had a birthday meetup at Schuylkill Banks. It's the Banks in Philadelphia, where they were playing a movie, and we could celebrate her birthday with her, and we got to go.
Yeah. We just, like, stopped by, and first we enjoyed the Banks, because there's this, like, pop-up roving bar thing that's happening in Philly. Check it out. It was really cool. And then we met up with them and had some delicious Tiffany's cupcakes that were, like, straight-up Hostess Johns. They were amazing, and we got to, like, meet this person that we've been, like, chatting with on Twitter since the hashtag Black Podcast Week. And got to meet her husband, Drew. He was cool. Very talkative.
We learned a lot about, like, the work they've been doing. And it was just, it was really exciting to finally meet people that you're friends with online IRL.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I only really have done that in like the online dating world. Yeah. So it was nice to just be like, hey, just some people.
Literally just a pal. Like just a friend. So shout out to you, Leslie and Drew. It was so awesome meeting you. Head over and listen to their podcast, Interracial John. You can find them on Twitter and Facebook as well. They promote us a lot via their platforms. So thank you for always being fans and supporters of Black Girls Laughing.
Yay. So let's get to our John.
Okay. Yes.
And I'm going to start it off.
Woo woo.
So, you know Jessica Williams?
Do I?
She's my bae. I love her podcast, Two Dope Queens. I've been loving her since 2012 when she became the first Black female correspondent on The Daily Show. And she's going off to new and awesome things. She's saying, peace out, Daily Show, because I'm sorry, it's kind of whack right now. like, no shade to Trevor Noah, but it's not as strong as it used to
be.
Not at all. Like, literally only when Jessica Williams is on is I'm like, am I really standing hard for it? Or the other black gentleman that does stuff, he's pretty good too, but everyone else is like, meh. That Clipper dude, sorry, not a fan. But she's leaving the show. I watched her goodbye. And she shaded all of those Bernie supporters that are saying they're going to vote for Trump.
Good.
Shaded them hard. There was this one vile Black man that I just feel like he was just like upset that this Black woman was even speaking to him in this way. Like he just had like this terrible look. I wanted to jump into the screen and like shake his freaking face. Anyways. But she's leaving because she has got her own show that's going to be on Comedy Central, like a la Broad City.
Woo-hoo!
And it's all about being a Black woke feminist and like what that means to be a Black woke feminist and still, you know, be a hot mess. Because like even though you're woke, even though you are educated and you have like an idea of what you should be in your Blackness, sometimes you're just still a mess because you in your 20s and you don't know how to do shit. So I cannot wait to have sort of like a Broad City, but with brown people.
Yeah. So I read that it's with a writer from Broad City and Difficult People. So That should be like a funny mashup. Actually, weirdly enough, I'm more excited to see the dynamic between her and the writers. Because I like Broad City, but I've kind of fallen off the wagon with, like, the whole Hillary Clinton, like, shoved down my throat thing. And it kind of got annoying.
When they showed their white ladiness hard this past season.
And it was, like, some of their jokes aren't as funny and, like, kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And then I, as we all know, I hate Lena Dunham, so I, like, always see them with her. And then when I watch the show, I, like, can't detach their outside of the TV show friendship with Lena Dunham and just imagine them saying really problematic shit. So I wonder what, like, the writers, I feel like Jessica Williams is going to be, like, calling people out as she's writing the show. And I hope she shares it on her podcast or, like, via blog or, like, in the show about, like, the issues she might have writing her show.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Is this, I'm like looking up who Naomi's brown, though. The chick that she's doing it with is another brown person.
I mean, so, as they say, skin folk ain't always kin folk.
I have some faith. Yeah, I'm nervous about Broad City just in general because, like, I love Hannibal Buress and he's not on the show anymore. Yeah. So I'm just like,
What happened? Where are you at?
You were my favorite part because you would, like, you know, in a nice way, check Alana for her racism.
Right?
And if without her, without him being there, who's going to do that? Well, the boy, like, her roommate does it, though, too. He's like, that's racist. Like, when you try to act like you are a gay man, that's not cool. Like, those are, like, probably one of my favorite scenes this past season, where they've, like, been checking her for her yes queen and her ridiculousness and acting like she's a person of color when girl, you white. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, you might have curly hair,
but
you might have a little bit of, you know, you might be a little swarthy or whatever, but.
Isn't she Jewish?
Yeah.
Like that shirt says, white girls imitating gay men, imitating black women.
It's just, it's too much.
It's the trend. But I'm really excited for Jessica Williams. And this show, I feel like you and I are just going to be freaking gushing about the whole thing. Because it's going to be us in a TV show.
I mean, I'm going to probably have to get cable again so I can be up to date.
Between that and like Issa Rae.
Yeah.
Like what are, my brain is about to freaking explode with like all of this amazing TV.
Like, thank you, television, for staying in color. Because I was nervous that it was going to not go, like, it was going to stop being in color because Obama's leaving. And so they're like, you know, we can we go back to old anymore. White stuff. Because, like, that's what the news stations have clearly done. I watched Meet the Press this morning. It was only white people. I was like, really? Like, 6 months ago, you had at least, like, Donna Brazile up in this bitch talking about something.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like that's how we'll get our toes in the media is, you know, we might not be on the news anymore, but we'll still talk about the news via these bomb-ass TV shows.
I mean, it's going to be good comedy and satire that's going to be reflecting the world that we live in. Ooh, if we have a Donald Trump life, I can't wait to hear how, I can't wait to have my moment of happiness through the sadness of this hellhole that we will be living in.
But I'm excited. We're excited. We'll be talking about this show a ton. So get ready, you guys.
Yay.
Woo.
Well, so what you got, girl?
So keeping in line with Williams's?
Yeah, I guess the Williams.
Another J. Jesse Williams has stirred up conversations. He was awarded, I just blanked on the name.
The Humanitarian Award.
Yes, for the BET Awards, and gave a really awesome speech about, you know, we might be magic, but we're still here. You can still see us. You know, he has done a lot of work just voicing his opinion, mm-hmm. like not even including what he's actually done physically, but just like talking, using his platform as a way to discuss lives of being brown.
Yes. Just
being brown and alive in America now in this day and age and how it's been forever and the systematic racism that we all deal with as people of color every single day. And now there's conversations of people being upset that he talked about that. People being glad that he used his privilege as a light-skinned man to talk about that. Stacey Dash, which is the prime example of skin folk, ain't always kin folk, decided she was going to open her bankrupt ass and say something. And yeah, so let's chat.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, that speech, I mean, that it was trending like immediately on all of, on the Twitters, on the Facebooks, everyone posted the clip of that speech, and it was so impactful. I was so happy that he has so much respect and love for black women and what black women are doing for the movement. And like, he's getting this award, but he took the time to shout out black women. And Alice Walker has actually written a poem in response to the speech that I haven't had a chance to read, but I think we should all like take a moment to like check that out soon. And I'm shocked with some of the backlash inside of the black community against him. I understand, like, he's completely aware of his light skin privilege. He knows that he's only on this platform, like, one of the, like, besides being a good actor and, you know, paying his dues and yada, yada, yada. You know, his skin privilege, the fact that he is beautiful with some gorgeous eyes and, like, you know, that he is exotic. He's like the black male version of that exotic look.
I'm getting stressed like, out over here.
Like, he is fine. And that's why he gets to be out in front. And it's not like we haven't had civil rights leaders that have been light skinned. Like Malcolm X had red hair. Like, like that's a light skinned man. People were confused when Denzel Washington played him. Like, light skinned people are always in the forefront in civil rights movements because of the privilege that they have. Because of their less threatening to the white public, and because of the politics that we have inside of the black community in general. And so, like, how can we be upset? And it's not a black man that are upset with him being a light-skinned man up there, but have no problem with how dirty black men treat dark-skinned black women inside of the community. So how can you come out of one side of your mouth saying that he can't talk about this, but then treat darker black women like garbage on the other side of your mouth?
Good. That's a good-ass question. Yeah, I, as a light-skinned woman, understand, like, it took me so long. It didn't take me that long, actually, to realize how black men treat me versus dark skinned women. And it literally took one sentence of someone who was trying to get with me in college for them to say something. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I live my life, one, in a bubble of whiteness. So I didn't even know operated in the world at all beyond just being around white people all the time. Mm-hmm. And then to, like, get that bubble popped to realize that there was another bubble that I was living in that no one asked to be put in these bubbles. So I understand why people are, again, annoyed by this. And he even said, like, he knows that because of the standard of beauty in the world, he gets to be there and talk in front of those people. So my question is, what do you want from him other than to do what he did, which was use his privilege to talk about all of this shit that otherwise goes, I don't know, falls on deaf ears? Mm-hmm. Like, what else, what did you want him to do? Other than what we want our, quote, allies to do is to use their privilege as a platform.
He's not an ally. He's just a black man. Yeah. Like, he's not an ally. He's just a black man speaking for being a black person.
But, like, we want, like, every day I see articles about, like, how to be an ally or how to be a good friend to a person of color or blah, 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 blah. And he's not even an ally, but he used his platform. I'm confused.
But it's like we've been wanting our black celebrities to say things about this. And here we have a black celebrity.
But he's not black
doing
enough.
The work.
He's
doing
not black
the
enough.
Work. Well, then let's go get someone else. Then get who do you want? Get Weezy to come say something then. Like, I don't know. Like, what's gonna make it better?
First of all, I think the thing that would make it better is get fucking rid of the idea that as a black man he's not fucking black enough. We can start there.
Yeah. I mean, but, like, Beyonce got the same stuff with Formation. Like,
I never saw any of that shit. I must have did a really good job at avoiding that.
But, like, it just always happens in this way. But let's pivot a little bit and talk about Justin Timberlake.
No, listen.
Stop. I hate when my face become problematic messes. Right?
The other day I was, like, listening to it and I was like, oh, my face is so problematic. Why you do this?
it's like he just didn't even listen to the speech in his response. Like, of course, someone's going to say something to you on Twitter when you tweet congratulations and saying that you're inspired. Like, and that's a warranted feeling that he could have after seeing that speech. I think many a folk, white, black, and every other person were moved by that. Especially if you care about Black lives and then you care about the work that's being done. But then to clap back at the person in the way that he did, he should have just let it go. He shouldn't have never said anything. It's like, tons of people tweeted at him, like, are you going to stop appropriating? Are you going to stop? You know? He's blue-eyed soul, you know?
I know.
He's been doing the same shit that Hall & Oates were doing, and I love me some Hall & Oates. But, you know, you're appropriating a sound and making bank off of it. Because you've got cute, curly, blonde hair. And blue eyes. And you can sing and you can dance.
So many problematic faves. My heart. Yeah, I saw that and I was just like, didn't anyone ever tell you to just like be quiet? Like once.
Well, that was literally what Jesse Williams said.
Just be quiet.
Just be quiet.
Yeah. I don't, it's, yeah. I was sad. Not surprised, still sad.
It was crazy how everyone like piled on him. I feel like it ended up being a bigger deal than the actual speech.
Yeah.
And that is what's really effed up. You came in here and you took away the impact of this speech by being too white all over it. Just stop it. And then one more. There's been lots of responses to this. Did you see that white hoe on like blaze.com or something?
I see her face.
Oh my gosh.
Whenever I see her face, I'm like, oh, it's Stacey Dash's BFF.
Melissa Hasselbeck, number three.
Tony.
Ann Coulter's daughter. Oh. Like.
Ann Coulter is the literal, she's Satan's hot anus on this earth.
It's like, it's everything that is, it's like the root of racism. Because like, I feel like racism sits, like racism and patriarchy go hand in hand. And the way that, in the protection of white women is what, is how racism has been, how racism became perpetuated. You know, it was a way we have to stop these black men from, you know, having sex with our women and making these mixed children. And the way that she speaks perpetuates, I feel like white women can just like say too much. Like they have like the freedom to say whatever they want in these situations. And they can just say, they can be the absolute worst.
Yeah.
They can be the pinnacle of racism because of how they're protected with sexism and as a woman. And it's just the vilest thing. This is why I almost made a show called How America Taught Me to Hate White Women. Like I almost made a piece called that because that is what this speech, like this thing that she did, it was just her white womanness displayed all over the place. And then we were supposed to congratulate on the people that were so happy. Like, yes, girl, you get it. And the only thing she said was that we white people have helped black people because we fought for you in the Civil fucking War. The Civil War. The Civil War is the thing that you are checking about white people being down for the cause. What the hell? Like the hundreds of years that have gone by since the Civil War, 100 years. Because let's be real, it hasn't been a long time since we were enslaved.
Yeah,
you know, things haven't changed that much. But this woman was acting like. you know, we've just been living in the kumbaya world, and that Jesse Williams was just coming out of nowhere with all of his privilege and acting like he was talking about himself and not the condition of blackness in America. Again, listen and shut up.
No, apparently.
Yeah.
I did not watch that video. Her face pops up and I refuse to watch it. That was like Stacey Dash. Her thing popped up. I read the one quote that someone pulled out of there and I was like, I literally have 1,000 better things to do. But also, I would rather sit in front of a mirror and pluck my eyelashes out one by one with a pair of tweezers than read anything she has to say. Mm. Anything. Her bankrupt ass. But women should work harder to get more money, but I'm in the
Oh my gosh.
If you haven't read information about Stacey Dash being bankrupt and having her husband support her with $6,000 a month, just came out, you know, after she said that women should work harder and that's how they can make the same amount of money as men or be in the same position of power. So she's literal hot burning garbage. And that's all I have to say.
The Williams, you guys made some news this year.
Tag team back again.
Mm-hmm. Like, where's Serena? Just to round it out, right?
Yeah, where's Serena? What are you doing? Where are you at?
Is Wimbledon happening yet? Like, what's going on?
All right,
that's the John.
Hey guys, for you, the listeners of Black Girls Laughing, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Personally, I love to listen to entrepreneurial books. I'm a big business nerd, as you already know. And right now, I'm listening to Will It Fly by Pat Flynn. You might know him from The Smart Passive Income. He has this amazing book that teaches you how to start your own business from the idea to testing out the concept to launching it. Check it out. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/blackgirlslaughing. Again, that's audibletrial.com/blackgirlslaughing for your free audiobook.
Hey friends, I'm back with the You Better Work. And I'm sort of going off of the bullet journal stuff that we talked about a couple of episodes ago. Have you started your bullet journal? Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, I've been had a bullet journal.
I know you've
been
had your bullet journal. Yeah. I let you know about that. Everyone's been like doing bullet journals. It's been so dope. But today I want to talk about a productivity hack that I've been doing for a little while, and I do it with my bullet journal, and it helps me get a lot of shit done during the workday. And this little method or technique is called the Pomodoro technique. So what is the Pomodoro technique? Well, it is a productivity method that was invented by Francesco Cirillo, a developer, entrepreneur, and author. And Pomodoro means tomato in Italian. And it got the name from the little timer that he would use when he would do his studying while he was still in university. So the method is super duper simple. When you have like a large task or a series of tasks that you're trying to get done, you break the work down into short intervals, and then you space out those intervals with little breaks, usually like 25 minutes of work, 5 minutes of break. Why do you do this? Because it allows you to focus and do one thing at a time. Because actually when you're trying to double task, when you are, you know, writing an email, but then also checking Facebook and then writing, then like putting stuff into a database and doing all these things at one time, you're actually making yourself drunk. Like, you're like, it's the same brain chemistry of being drunk is trying to do multiple things at once. So if you just concentrate on one thing and get it done, you'll actually get it done faster. So how do you do this? So what I do is that you just choose a thing you want to accomplish, or you have your to-do list already in your beautiful bullet journal and you wrote it the night before or in the morning. You pick a thing that you're going to focus on, and then you set a timer for 25 minutes, and then you work on that one task until the timer goes off. And then you take a 5-minute break. These 5-minute breaks make you feel like you're taking a, like, it gives your brain a break. And your brain, like, five minutes might seem insignificant to you, but, you know, you take a water, you walk around, you listen to some music, you check Facebook, and your brain takes that moment to just chill out, and then it can go back to getting work done when you go back to doing work after your 5-minute break. So you rinse and repeat a bunch of times, and after you've done about 4 of these pomos, you take a break, a longer break, like 15 minutes, 30 minutes. Go, you know, take a walk, go get some lunch, and then give yourself a reward. It's a little bit like a gamification of getting your work done. It's a little game. You do something, you get a 5-minute reward. You do a bunch of those things in a row, you give yourself a bigger reward. And you can start challenging yourself. Like, how many of these pomos can I do in a day? If you get 6 done, that's 3 hours of solid work that you've gotten done in the day. Now, say you're a person like me, I have a lot of meetings. I hate meetings. They're a waste of time. So what you do is, looking at your day at work, and you see you have 2 meetings in the day. And so that's 2 hours of your 8-hour day gone. So, you know, you have like about 5 hours of getting work done. So I'm going to try to do 10 pomos in the day. Maybe I won't meet that goal, but now I have something to try to get to. I was listening to this webinar, and this one guy, he takes all the tasks that he wants to do in a day, and he makes a post-it note for each one that is the task. And so when the pomo starts, he's like, okay, this is the task that I'm doing. And once he's completed it, he crumples it up, and it's just so satisfying, just like crumpling it up and then like having that physical manifestation of all of the work that you've done in the day, that you leave work like, oh yeah, I did all this stuff, I'm accomplished. You know, sometimes you just like are stuck in your email all day and it feels like you've done absolutely nothing. But when you write it down or have a post-it note, take that moment to scratch it off the list, it feels so good. And today I wrote out my to-do list this morning, and I took time to like fill in the little bubbles in my bullet journal, and it just felt so good. I'm like, oh crap, I've accomplished 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things already today. Big things that are pushing me forward, my career, my side hustle, all of it. And it's just really nice. Now you can start plotting out your future and slowly ticking away at it. And then you'll be I'm going to be a podcast superstar someday. You know, or I'm going to get all of my stupid work at my job done and, you know, get a pat on the back from my boss, because that's all that I get. But hey, whatever motivates you, it's just nice to have that physical manifestation of what you're doing. So try it.
I think I'm going to try it. I do bullet journal, and I at first was doing like the little X beside the things I got done, but I realized that I'm definitely someone that finds so much satisfaction of not being able to read what I did after I did it because it's done. So I'm definitely someone that likes to cross out or like crumple up the paper. So that is for me.
Yeah. And what you can do, something that I really liked, he this the the guy that was doing the post-it notes, he puts them in a jar. And so then he has this jar at the end of the week that's everything he got done. And he's like, look at it and be like, oh, you know, Simba that shit. Like, I did this. I am a productive genius. So I'm going to like, I might mess around with that. Like maybe like put my post-it notes in my bullet journal and like rip them out, or I don't know. It could be, it's fun. I like being able to see what I've done so I can like reflect on it later on. Like, look at all the things I've done. That's why I like putting it in the journal and then just bubbling. I do little, for my tasks, I do squares next to tasks and then I just fill in the square. And if I've only done half of a task, I fill in half of it.
Yeah.
So it's very satisfying. So try this. Become more productive. Let me know that you're ruling your job or you're starting your blog. This is like perfect for bloggers. Yeah. It's perfect for people that are like doing all that like social media stuff. Or you can just say, hey, I'm going to write all my posts for the week right now and just get it done. Just take that, take it off. And then you can give yourself a treat.
Yeah. As someone that does social media for multiple things, I should probably implement this. I'm curious to know how it works for brains that I'm very much like only creative in like sporadic moments. So like sitting down and being like, I'm going to schedule 2 weeks worth of social media posts sounds like torture to me. But we'll see if I can retrain my brain.
But you're just doing it for 25 minutes and then you give yourself a treat. Like, I'm going to go have a La Croix now.
I love La Croix.
You know? Like, oh, I've done five of these, so now I'm going to go hang out with my friend in her office for a little bit.
Yeah. I will have to try it. I will let you know.
All right. All right, so that is You Better Work for the Week. Whoop.
We're back with a brand new segment of Words of Wisdom. This week, we have chosen drama queen, queen, wannabe drag queen, NeNe Leakes. You know her for her role on Housewives of Atlanta. And a couple other TV shows. She's just been everywhere trying to get that money.
She was on Broadway.
Yeah, she was on Broadway. Yes, she was. But she's definitely got the one-liner thing going for her. So I'm going to give you words of wisdom to use in all instances. I'll give you short examples of when to best use these phrases. When someone questions you in any moment, simply look at them and say, I said what I said. Don't let those people twist your words. Just hit them with, I said what I said. When you decide to finally tie the knot and get married, and the preacher says, for richer or for poorer, you hit him with a for richer or for richer. When your friends ask you about your carbon footprint, you look at them and say, I don't know how to go green unless it's green money going to the bank. When you wake up in a mood, you're going into those meetings we were just talking about and you just can't. You just literally cannot, you know, just look up to the sky, raise your hands and say, please help me to not have to kill somebody today. When someone wants to come at you talking out the side of their mouth, you let them know that while they were running their mouths, you were running to the bank. When people question your loyalty, you remind them, I'm not going to stab you in the back. I'm going to stab you in the chest. And when that hoe just won't go, you look at her and say, you and your wig, get out of my life. This has been Words of Wisdom via Nene Leakes. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Nene Leakes is so savage. And I hate that word, but it is so fitting for that woman.
There are so many one-liners from her that I just had to pick the ones that made me chuckle louder than the other ones that made me chuckle.
I mean, who are the other ladies of Real Housewives? I mean, some of the later ones have been like actual famous people.
Yeah.
But like, you think of like those first couple of seasons when it was like her and like
Kim.
Oh, Kim. Don't be tardy to the party.
That's the wig. She started calling her wig. She just called her wig. She didn't call her Kim. She called her wig.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, who knows who I'm going to pick next? I mean, we started real with some heavyweight champs.
Oh, I've already decided it's going to be Cardi B next.
Who? I don't even know what we're going to do after that.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be a mess. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
I have to get my life and start watching more reality TV.
You can't, don't. Like, in an act of self-care, just don't do it.
Well, that's how we're going to figure out who the next one's going to be, you know?
Unless any of you have some suggestions, because you watch.
It's got to be someone from, like, Basketball Wives.
I know, I was just thinking.
There's 19 Love and Hip Hops.
I was going to say Love and Hip Hop might be, because I watched that for a couple seasons.
Well, Cardi B is from Love and Hip Hop New York.
Oh, well, I watched the original with them. We fly high, no lie, you know this.
Bowling! Yes.
I just forgot his name, but, you know, his whole drama with the woman he was with for like 16 years and wouldn't get married to, but anyway. If you guys have suggestions, let us know. Moving on?
Yeah, let's move on.
So, do you want to start the throwback jam? Do you want me to start the throwback jam?
I'll start the throwback jam because I have fond memories of this song. My mama loves two things. R. Kelly Play 12 in... Sade. Just all of Sade. When in the 90s, as a little girl, I had to go to the Little Pioneers, like after like evening daycare, because my mom and my dad were going to see either Sade or R. Kelly in concert. And this song, Smooth Operator, just reminds me of my mama. Because I would hear it while I was laying in bed on like a Saturday. I knew she was cleaning because I would hear this little ditty. And I would get up and start smelling pine saw. I was like, all right, life's going to be good. The house is clean. And my mama's home and is jamming to her songs. So our throwback jam is Smooth Operator.
Smooth Operator. So Brie can sing the whole thing for me. I remember when I first saw her name, I thought it was Sade for like ever. As I feel like most young children that saw. So when someone was like, oh, Sade, I was like, who's that? But this, I randomly started singing it last night, and I'm glad that we could bond over this wonderful song, and I can't wait to sing it at karaoke. It's going to be a blast. But I love this song, and Sade. I've been listening to a lot of Sade on the train to work. So oh, nice. That's why
good commuting music.
Popped into my head, because it's very calming and chill for the morning, but not enough that I want to go to sleep. So,
and her band is fire,
right?
Like, I'm just like hearing the guitar right now. Ding, 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 ding. like, it's so good.
So, as always, catch the throwback jam on our Spotify playlist, Black Girls Laughing, #TBJ. Woo!
Hey, hey. All right, well, let's move on to the final segment.
Final segment.
Your favorite. the giggle, the gackle, and the roar, roar, roar.
That was weird.
All right.
So, the giggle.
Dog memes. No, dog vines.
I mean, dog memes as well. Yeah, all of it. Just dogs on the internet. Doge.
Being cute.
Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop the beat. Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop the beat.
And Jordan today showed us this little puppy with Africa, one of our past throwback jams, and little dog is like
with its little paws.
Oh my gosh.
So dogs are magical and we love them. We do. Like a lot. Like dogs. Dogs. Dogs.
All of my friends are getting dogs. It's like if all my friends that can't, like that are not in a place to have babies or have dogs now. Like all my friends in New York all have dogs. All just I'm like, where are these dogs living? Where are they sleeping in your studio apartment? Like
in bed? Probably.
Yeah, in the bed. Yeah. All cuddled up. I want a dog real bad, but someone's allergic.
They got allergy pills.
They got hypoallergenic dogs too.
They got allergy shots. Yeah, we just have a lot of strong, very good feelings about dogs in this whole room. Mm-hmm. Maybe minus the cats, but they can't talk.
Oh, yeah. My cats hate dogs. That's the reason why we can't. We have two plump cats that are not a fan of other animals. My friend Seamus, when he comes with his puppies to the house, the cats are like, what is this alien? Why is it here? You should check out his puppies. He's got these French bulldogs. He's got a nice little pampered little life. And you can see them on Instagram at Philly Frenchies. And they're adorable. They're Butters and Montega.
I haven't met Montega yet. I'm real sad.
She's itty bitty.
I know. I want to meet her. She's so little.
Okay. They're very pampered pups. Their daddies make their food.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to be, if I have a dog, I'm not going to be that type of dog parent.
I mean, I would love to be able to have the one time to money to like make my cat her food. Because at the end of the day, it is better for any animal.
Yes.
But like, no.
Because I don't eat processed food. So why should I give it to my animal? But yeah. I'm broke.
Exactly. So dogs.
They get McDonald's.
Not really, guys. Please don't freak out on her.
I've heard of a cat that would only eat chicken nuggets.
I'm
it
not
was
surprised.
Like a very old cat, and like McNuggets were it like was the only thing it would eat. At it was like 20. It was like that's it.
That's how I'm going out. Going out in nuggets.
Them boot nuggets only.
Same. I feel like I'll be that cat at the end of the road. Anyway, moving on to the cackle. So it's both started as a negative, thankfully ended as a positive. Woohoo. The Supreme Court had an uphill battle of discussing Texas abortion restrictions. So hopefully many of you know or don't know, and I'm going to keep saying that as a way to remind you that you should know about these things. So in Texas, they had this restriction that only hospitals, or as they quoted, ambulatory surgical centers could perform abortions due to the high health risks and mental risks and pressures that women are under when having an abortion. The issue with that is that the locations of these places that were allowed to perform abortions may not be in a close vicinity of a woman that needs one, specifically low-income women. Having to set up an appointment makes it far away, the cost of it. So the burden was on the women that wanted to have an abortion. And you they could not and would not allow abortion clinics to be open. It had to happen in essentially a hospital. And there are organizations like Planned Parenthood that do help grant out and give out money to help give money to women that want abortions, but that doesn't, I mean, what's $50 when you have to somehow plan when you can go, take time off of work that you might not get paid for, and then how are you going to get there?
Find a ride?
Yeah, and then once you get there, like, the $50 was spent the second it got into your hands. So luckily, thanks to the awesome women of the Supreme Court that were pretty much like, this is a conversation we're having. And when they were told time's up, they were like, no, we're still not effing done yet. We're going to have this conversation. They overturned the restrictions 5-3. So now there can be better access to safe and healthy abortions, which whether you're for them or against them is not here or there to me. I really could care less what your opinion is about this situation, because I know that I would want women to have access to a healthy and safe option of whatever they decide, because it's not my freaking choice, even though I am a woman. So I'm glad that this was overturned, and shout out to hashtag notorious RBG for being notorious as always. And please go read about it if you haven't. You can even start with that hashtag. That's a great way to see both humor and learn more about stuff like the Women's Medical Fund that did a lot of on-the-ground advocacy for things like this and are an awesome group of women that just constantly fight for women to be able to, you know, decide things for their own bodies because we're women and human beings and we should be allowed to. So my cackle is at the restrictions at the beginning, but my cackle is also at this being overturned and success in the end, and hopefully this continues on in the larger conversation of what women should be allowed to do, which is have control over their own bodies.
I mean, this was such a long ordeal.
Yeah.
I mean, there was that senator, that Texas senator that filibustered when they first tried to vote these laws in. And she also made a bid to try to become the governor of Texas and was defeated by that turd of a man who, like, started wearing glasses to seem smart. I can't even think of his name right now. Rick Perry. Like, it's been for so long. Yeah.
Fucking did that.
He started wearing glasses. Yeah. And it's been a very long, long road, and I'm so happy for Texas. Like, we need to remember, Texas is a huge state. It can take you 2 days to drive through Texas. So if you went from however many abortion clinics that were around to, like, the handful that met the requirements, if you lived in Amarillo and the closest one was in Austin, you had a huge ordeal to get through. If you lived in Tyler, Texas, and you had to come all the way down to Houston, like, that is a huge, huge amount of time. And now you have to calculate all of that into trying to get this done in a reasonable amount of time. Like, if you're trying to get an abortion, the clock is ticking. So I'm so happy. I mean, Roe v. Wade is still in effect. And, like, that is the law of the land. And you can't, through crooked legislation, take away a woman's right to choose. Yep. And that's was solidified. And that is going to, and let's look at all of the states. Pennsylvania included, have very similar laws. So now people are now, these laws are going to become repealed. Yeah. Like it's going to be able to be stricken down. We're not going to have to go all the way up to the Supreme Court, because now we have precedents. And so in lower federal courts, we can strike down these laws that I think are like in 23 of our 50 states right now. So it's a huge victory for the 50% plus of women that live in this country.
Yeah. And if anything, I mean, just the precedent alone just hopefully snowballs into more and more and more choice.
Yeah, it's just access. You know, your politics are your politics. What you want to do with your body is your choice. And, like, we need to stop trying to police other people because of who we are. Like,
the end. Yeah. All right. I'm ready for your roar.
Okay. So unless you've been living under a rock.
You might be.
You might be. You probably haven't. If you don't know what Brexit is, girl,
dude,
get on the internet. Do some research. But on June 23rd, the United Kingdom had a referendum up, and people went out to vote to decide to either leave the European Union or to remain a part of the European Union. The European Union is all of Europe. It's like, yo, we're going to work together, and we're going to have open borders, and we're going to be able to, you know, consolidate our money and work together and unite underneath one currency. Even though the EU, the UK doesn't use the euro, they're still a part of this agreement amongst all of the countries of Europe. But some racist folk decided to say that they needed to leave the European Union. And the vote happened, and sadly, and to the shock of the world, 52% of the people of the UK decided to vote for the Brexit, and 48% decided to remain. So, like, since that's happened, like, all hell has broken loose. Like, the pound has plummeted. Like, I'm trying to book a flight to London so I can go shopping and go see some shows for a discount. Like, now I can afford to go to the UK. I know one of my coworkers just came back. I know he's mad. But with this vote, the racist have been showing their butts all over town. And there's been all of these headlines of people, of these hate crimes and xenophobic comments and people just being outwardly racist to people in the streets. Because now these racist views have been deemed appropriate, have been deemed okay to have by this vote. And people didn't even understand exactly what they were voting for. People were Googling the next day, what is the EU? How did you go vote? And then not know what the European Union is. But anyway, that's neither hither nor thither. My roar is about people who are going against the racist few. Because at the end of the day, racism, even though it can figure out a way to win in political structures, it's still a small group of people. And so there's been a counter movement. A writer that calls herself Allison, who lives near where a hate crime happened against a Polish community center, decided to wear a safety pin as a symbol of solidarity, as a symbol of being a safe person, of someone that you know that you can sit next to me on the bus, that you can ask me for directions, and I'm not going to say something ridiculously racist or xenophobic to you, to just symbolize that I'm not a part of this nonsense that's going on in my country. And so it's growing. It's turning into a movement. More and more people are wearing this safety pin to be the symbol of unity and just goodwill despite the way that any of them voted. Like she said, her statement, she's like, it doesn't matter if you voted for the Brexit or against the Brexit. You can wear this if you believe that you do not believe in the racist epithets that are being spewed all over our nation. And I'm just so happy that there's a silver lining in all of this nonsense, and that humans are being humans too, and not turning into the completely divisive animals that we can be at times. That we're going away, like we're fighting against this racialized violence that's happening and saying, hey, we don't stand for it. So to the Brits out there that are wearing the safety pins, I am clapping, roaring, cheering for you, because this is, it's ridiculous. If you want to leave the EU for different reasons, because you want to keep the money and use it for different things, there's political reasons that you can figure out, that some of them were lies, and some of them really much just go, it all really goes back to racism, but you didn't know what you did, but now you have to deal with it now. At least you can combat the racist rhetoric by wearing a safety pin.
I'm going to start with two things. I'm not surprised that leaving the EU won. And I'm also not surprised that nobody knows what the EU actually is. Like, not at all surprised. I'm not surprised that that was the top Google search at all. My response is that seeing how England is quite literally the motherland of racism, are we surprised? I'm not surprised. I'm not shocked at all. A lot of the gross people in power are going to be really sad when all of their businesses go to Germany, because all of them, a bunch of huge businesses and corporations, are already like, okay, well, I'm going to Frankfurt. Bye. Mm-hmm. So that sucks for all y'all. I also want to go to Europe, but at the same time, do I want to right now? But then also, this is the cheapest it'll probably be for a long time. I wish people here wore safety pins.
Oh, we're going to have something similar.
Inevitably, I mean, I guess this is just a reminder that when you say that Donald Trump will never be president, crazy shit happens every single day, y'all.
I mean, this was a warning shot. Like, it let us know that we could have some, because the economic meltdown that they're having, that will go down if Trump is elected.
Yeah. Like, you thought the recession when in 2008 and 2009... a ton of people were trying to figure out what they were going to do after high school or after college or whatever. Because I remember that conversation.
That was my year. I was graduating in 2009. My life was shit.
Yeah. So you think you're trying to bounce back now? Like, you have no idea. The dollar is already worth diddly squat. So.
And that was a big point of the Brexit vote, is that young people, 76% of them voted to remain. It was the older generation that said to the younger people, F your future.
Pretty much, yeah. Which I read a lot of backlash about people saying, if you're pegging this on the older demographic, you're part of the problem. And I was like, what?
The facts are there. Numbers don't lie.
I was just really confused, and I like wanted a few more receipts on like how or why. Because, I mean, as someone that's 24, if I found out that most of the people that voted for it were in their 80s, I would be peeved too. I'd be like, oh, so I've got another 60 to 80 years of being alive, and you've got another 20 tops, and you decided the next my life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think that the people that are saying that are maybe also looking at where the votes, because like, it's definitely a regional thing. Like a lot of the major cities voted to remain. And then you're looking at more of the rural areas that aren't even really affected by any of the immigration that's happening.
Which is
that
insane.
Are the one, but the, it's just pure hate because they live in isolated communities. It's like the United States. I mean, the ones that hate the most are the people that don't, because they don't see people of color because they live in white isolated communities. It's easy for them to say no to something.
Yeah.
Say no to rights of folks they don't know. Because, you know, major cities are very blue, even in red states.
I guess it's the idea that the people in these rural communities may not be the wealthiest. So then they're also the people that don't have as much power as their other white counterparts. Mm-hmm. So the only time they can have power is over people of color.
And it's not just people of color, because like it's Polish people, like it is xenophobia. It's afraid of people that are immigrating into your country. And these Polish people are white.
Like, are like, they really like, afraid of the Polish?
I feel like that's a cop out. The hate crime, the biggest hate crime that started the safety pin thing was on a Polish community center. It's easier for them to attack people of color because it's, you know, you can't hide that. But it's also people that look a little Italian, that are also having these epithets spewed at them. There is a racial component, but it's xenophobia and racism all boiled together in a nasty hot mess.
Y'all are screwed. I want to hear from our friends at the Melanin Millennials.
Yeah, I've been meaning to listen to their latest episode.
Like, how are they? I need to catch up so I can hear how they're dealing with this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It's been interesting watching. I'm watching a lot of British Facebook. And, like, seeing, like, their videos, and they've been the comedians of the UK have had a lot of interesting things to say.
I mean, this is also a country with a movie franchise like James Bond, and they said their own fucking Englishman born in that country couldn't play James Bond because he was black. I don't know why Idris Elba just popped in my head, but he always does. So I wanted to throw that out there because he's always popping in my head, so.
I mean, because before this, he was out there fighting for the fact that there were no good roles for people of color in Great Britain. I mean, there still aren't.
I mean, you know? They're like, oh, he needs to be an Englishman. He was like, I was born and have lived here my whole life.
Yeah, but
anywho.
Yeah, now we're
we could go on a tangent. I just, you know, it just doesn't interest Elba just be popping in your head throughout the day.
Well, he's bae.
Anyway, I think that wraps it up for today.
Yeah.
Another episode.
Done.
Woo-woo! You can find us on the internet, on Twitter and Instagram, at Black Girls Laughing, at BLK Girls Laughing with no G. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Black Girls Laughing.
Yeah. Check out our site. Check out our show notes.
Yeah.
See the links. Read our stuff.
BlackGirlsLaughing.com.
Connect all the time.
Woo! Come on! So, hopefully you guys saw in the news, the Supreme Court had an upward battle, as always, about overturning Texas...
I'll
redo that. Is okay. Your phone okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Are we good?
It was just so catastrophic.
It was like it like went in there.
I'm like trying to be slick to pull my phone.